Amen. It's our privilege today to have the Cornelius family with us. They've been faithful servants of the Lord. You know, being in the radio ministry is a dangerous business, is it not? For Christians, it's dangerous because there's the constant attack of the devil upon the work, that stress that comes from having to face the foe. Brother Randy, I remember many years ago, I forget what year exactly, but had a fall from one of the radio towers, and that took him out of commission for several months. It's not an easy work, but it's a work that's needed. And there are many listeners throughout the world as a result of this radio ministry that hear a clear presentation of the gospel, that hear good, godly music. And so we're so thankful that they're here with us today. Brother Randy, would you come and share with us what God's laid on your heart? Thank you, brother.
And good morning. We want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one worthy to serve and to worship, and we thank the Lord for the privilege of being together with you folks today. The radio station, Harbor Light of the Windwards, we named it that, Harbor Light, because we wanted it to be a light. And not just a physical light. In fact, we weren't even thinking of the physical light. We were thinking more along the lines of a spiritual light. But it has turned out to be more than just the spiritual light that we thought that it was going to be. We do have lights on the tower. And yes, somebody's got to go and change those bulbs. And if you're interested to do that, then talk to me afterwards and I'll put you on the schedule. It's only 180 feet, so that's not too tall. But those lights provide the only, we found out later, the only navigational aids on our side of the island. On the eastern side of the island, there are no marine navigational aids over there. On the western side, the side where town is, there are several navigational aids over there. But on the eastern side, there are none. And on the eastern side, there are reefs and other little islands. And it just so happens that the Lord placed the radio station in just the right spot, the tower, so that as the boats are traveling up towards or down from the north coming down towards Karaku, if they keep that light in view, they're in a channel that brings them all the way down. That's something, of course, we did not know, but the Lord has put it there, and so knowing that, we try to make sure we keep those bulbs changed. But it also, without our understanding, became a light to the aviation world. Previous to the radio station going on the air, there were no aviation beacons on the island, aids for coming into the island. And now, with the AM station, if you're familiar with flying, you have what's called an ADF, automatic direction finder, and you can tune the radio in the aircraft to our frequency 1400, and then a dial will point to that tower. Well, again, it just so happens that the tower is almost perfectly in line with the runway. With the length of the runway, it's on the western side of the island, and if you go up over the hill, the tower is almost directly behind the runway. So when the aircraft come off of Grenada, before they used to fly out of Grenada, if it was a cloudy day, a really overcast, bad day as far as flying is concerned, VFR is all they had there. Of course, nowadays things are GPS and the ADF is backup. But in those days, they would come off of Grenada, and if it was overcast, they could not see Karaku. It was too dangerous to fly down below the clouds because of the other islands with mountains and hills sticking up. So they needed to be able to get over to Karaku and come down in line with the runway, so they knew where they were. Well, if they come off the end of Grenada and just head straight into that beacon, the harbor light, they were headed directly for the runway. So they could come down out of the clouds, the runway would be right in front of them. There's a hill on one side that's dangerous as far as aviation is concerned, and they still don't have a beacon on that hill. There's problems with that. But the Lord used it in those other ways that we did not anticipate to be a beacon, to be a light, to be a help to people. But of course, the main purpose is to be a spiritual beacon. And there are two facets of the spiritual light that God has given us in His Word. And those two things are aspects of the light are salvation. We've got to give people the gospel so that they can come to Christ and be saved. And that's light. In fact, our theme verse for the radio station is Acts 26:18. I like to take the three words from the previous verse. I am sending you to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, there's salvation, and an inheritance, there's the other aspect, among those who have been sanctified in me. So forgiveness of sins and inheritance. What's the inheritance? The Lord Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. Because if you have Him, you have life. And the inheritance is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the aspect of living. It's life. It's eternal life. It's life that begins now through salvation, but that's not the end of it. That's the beginning of it. And then we live it, and the Lord Jesus Christ lives in us. If you'll open your Bible to the 119th Psalm, this wonderful Psalm in the Word of God, Psalm 119 and the verse 105, Psalm 119, 105. A very familiar verse of Scripture, but in Sunday school this morning we want to take some time to look at lights in the Bible. Lights in the Bible. And this is not by any means an exhaustive study. It's more principled than actually looking at the Word itself, but it has to do with those two aspects of our light, of the light of the Word of God and of the light that we bear as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We have different kinds of lights in the physical world, in the areas of, lost my train of thought. We have different types of light in our physical world, right? And I'm trying to introduce my first point, and for some reason, maybe I'm getting old. My thought just went away. But anyway, we have different lights. That's the point. And we use different lights for different reasons. So I'd like to just pull out of the different types of lights some things that we can use. And the first one is a street light. A street light. What does a street light do? It's more... Yes, sir. And it's more of an area light. You know, they don't put street lights... They separate them. They put them a little farther apart because they can illuminate an area. A street light is to show you where you are going. So to make this a little bit interactive, if I may, would you like to help me out by looking up some of these passages of Scripture? Okay. So somebody look up Job 29:3. And then somebody look up Psalm 18:28. Psalm 18:28. And then somebody look up Isaiah 2:5. Isaiah 2:5. So Job 29:3, Psalm 18:28, and Isaiah 2:5. Okay, who has Job 29:3? All right.
When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness.
Okay, and if you look in your note there, most Bibles will have in the margin, they'll have the word lamp, right? So when his lamp, the candle, shone, and the idea is over my head, like a street light. So Job is saying when his lamp, that's God's lamp, it's not talking about a physical light, of course, it's talking about a spiritual light. So we have the light of God over us. Not just in the Bible, it's also true in this physical world, right? The heavens declare the glory, there's the light, the heavens declare the glory of God and His firmament, the lights of the heaven, showeth His handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. And so there is a natural, shall I say, a natural divine light. A light that is a natural light of the creation that we have that is put there by God. So everyone has this opportunity to observe this light. This kind of a light is something that is broad and it covers a lot of area, a lot of territory. So for the people of the world, they see this light. And then that psalm, Psalm 19, is very clear that this light is understood by every person in the world. They do understand it. And they do receive it, or they do reject it. It is a conscious decision in the heart of every person. No matter where you're born in this world, there is a certain amount of light that God has given, and it is deliberately received or it is deliberately rejected. That is why God says that there's no one without excuse. The light received, the Lord will bring more light. The light rejected will bring darkness. And that is true not only in Africa, where I was born, but in the United States and in other countries who may have the privileges of hearing the gospel. What is happening in the United States today? Why? Because people have rejected the light. Why is there so much hopelessness? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that people seem to be completely hopeless? Why are they so hopeless? Because they have turned their back on the light that God has given them. And they have turned their back on God. That's why there's so much hopelessness in this world. And it will happen. Why do people go and mass murder and then kill themselves? Because they are so hopeless and they see other people as hopeless and they just go out and kill people because they say these people are they think they have hope, but they don't. And he wants to put them out of their misery or whatever. There have been cases where people, this is the thoughts that they've had. They've written it on Facebook. They're just totally hopeless. So light received, any amount of light that God gives to us must be received. If it is rejected, the light starts to go out. Doesn't happen immediately, but it starts to go out. What's the next one? Psalm 18:28. Who's got that one?
For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness.
Okay. Who is it that's going to light my lamp? My lamp? Who is it? The Lord. The Lord is going to do it. And that is the only source of light, true light. That's the only source. That's the only source. Do I need to say it again? That's the only source of light. When you watch the evening news, it sounds like the anchor has all the light. And I don't watch the news very often, but we were with somebody's house and they put on the news. And you would think that those people are God, the way they talk. They've got all the answers. They've got the light. But they don't. And they're so passionate and they're so intense. And just amazing. I mean, if you were to sit there, just your emotional response to what they're saying would be, you'd be pulled in. You'd say, wow, that's true. I didn't know that. What's going to happen? Okay, the next one, Isaiah 2:5. Somebody have that one?
O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Okay, again, the light, the true light, is God's light. And that is the only source of light. Light as in understanding what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false, what is good, what is bad. That's what we're talking about. And that's a general thing. And God has put, not only in the creation, but He's put a conscience in man. And there are certain things that we just naturally know. Why? You know, somebody comes and takes something from us, we naturally feel like they did wrong. It doesn't matter who. I never met anybody yet who, when you went and you stole something from them, whether out front or when in being on the mission field, we've had houses broken into. I'm sure you've had it around here too. And somebody breaks in to your house and steals your things, you are not happy. That does not make you happy. You feel violated. You feel like somebody did something wrong, and it doesn't matter who they are. Everybody has the same reaction. Where did that come from? That's the light from God. And that's the light that they're rejecting. Okay, another light is the spotlight. And you got spotlights up here. And that illuminates certain areas. You use a spotlight, maybe as a flashlight in the nighttime. You're shining it on a certain area. So a spotlight is to see what you're doing. Sometimes you have lights on your workbench and they're turned, shining right on what you're doing. So that's the idea I have when I think of a spotlight. And John 3, somebody turn to John 3, 19 to 20. Yes, sir.
And this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
And verse 21?
Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Okay, notice the emotional words in here. Men loved darkness rather than light. For everyone who does evil hates the light. So there's a deliberate response on the part of each person to love the light or to hate the light. Nobody can say, well, I had a bad upbringing. I came from a really bad home. I didn't have the opportunities that other people had. We cannot say that. Because God gives enough light to each one of us, regardless of where we came from or what happened in our life, to accept it deliberately, to choose it, or to reject it. And John 12, I'll just read these. So John 12, 35 and 36. So Jesus said unto them, for a little while longer is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself. He was giving an indictment to them. He was speaking to them. The light of the world was speaking to those people. So we can never say, well, if Jesus would just come and talk to me, I would know what to do, and I would do it. Those people didn't. And the Lord has given us far more, can I say it reverently, than Jesus himself coming and talking to us, because we have the entire Word of God, which is about him. We have the whole Old Testament, and I would have loved to have been with those disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus expounded unto them everything concerning himself in the Scriptures, and that would have been the Old Testament. Wouldn't you love to have a commentary on what he said? But you know, it's all there. And we can study it. And we can learn it. And we can find, and somebody said, I can't remember who said it, but if you think you see Christ in the Old Testament, you do. Because he's there, all over the place, the light of the world. Let's move on. Romans 13, 12, I'll just read this one. The night is almost gone, the day is near, therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. I think your King James would say it a little differently. I have printed it out in the NAS. I hope that's okay. While the night is almost gone, the day is near, therefore let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The light of God's Word is for us to see what we are doing. Is it right? Is it godly? Is it good? Or is it not? And to make a decision about what we're going to do with it. Are we going to obey the Word of God? Are we going to do what God says? We cannot comfort ourselves and say, I'm just not going to say, you know how we like to do sometimes. We just kind of don't say anything. We kind of don't do anything. We just kind of just sort of drift along. That's a decision. It's a decision when we just, I'm not going to do anything. There's the decision. I'm not going to. I know if I get into that, then I'm just going to back off. Well, that's a decision. We're making a decision. And it gets even deeper. The third type of light that we're going to look at is the searchlight. Somebody look up Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, 23 and 24.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Now this is a prayer that David prayed, and this is what we need to do. There are times when the light shines, and it reveals things to us, and probably to other people as well. And we want to turn off the light. That's our natural response. I'm sure the ladies have had this experience in their home. They open the curtain, it's a beautiful sunny day, and they turn around and the light is shining on the lamp tables and everything in the living room. Oh, there's all this dust. If you turn the light off, if you close the blinds, you don't see the dust. And yeah, it's amazing, but it's still there. But that's what we do, isn't it? Isn't that what happens when somebody preaches, when we read the Bible? Something happens, and the light, because we know the Word of God, comes on in our mind. And immediately we say, that's not true. That's not me. We react to the light because it's showing up something in us. And woe be to someone, your loving brother or sister in the Lord or your pastor coming to you and saying, this is what the Scripture says. This is what you're doing or not doing. Come on, my brother, my sister. That's not what a Christian does. That's not how a Christian acts. That's not what a Christian says. And we shut off the light because we do not want to hear that rebuke. But we need to leave that light on. And then we need to do this. We need to say this to the Lord. We need to pray to the Lord. Lord, search me. Turn on the lights, Lord. Search me. Do I have the right attitude? Do I have the right spirit? Am I saying the right things? Am I doing the right things? Am I involved in things? So do I have affections, loves for things that I shouldn't have? And I could give examples, but you ask the Lord. He'll tell you. The Lord knows how to talk to us if we will let Him, if we will turn on the light, if we will open the blinds and turn on the light, and we can ask the Lord. And of course, Jeremiah 17:9, that one really hurts, right? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the heart in our natural, our sinful heart. That's the sin nature in us. That's what it's talking about. And we also have a false light. Somebody look up Isaiah 5:20. I can think of Proverb Practicals, but I can't think of your name all of a sudden. What? Opager. Goodness gracious, I know that since I was a little boy. I forget. Okay, haven't seen you for a while. Isaiah 5:20. Does somebody have that one? Yes, sir.
Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
Okay, there we have the flip-flopping of what's happening. So we have false lights. You notice it says those who call evil good and good evil. It doesn't mean it is, but that's what they call it. And that's what happens so often in our world today. People will say that it's bad, but it's not. And we have to really be thinking as believers. We really have to be to stop and think, is it really bad? Or is, more often probably, is this really good? This is good. You ought to try this. This is really good. Is it really good? Does God say it's good? What true light are we shining on the thing, whatever it is, to know whether it's really good or really not? And substitute the exchange, the dark for the light, and the light for the dark. They're exchanging, like Romans 1, the glory of God for creation, just switching it around. And 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we have this light that is a false light that is a mixture. You take somebody who says something totally false, that's false. They take good and they say it's evil. That's not right. But what if somebody comes along and takes some good and takes some evil and mixes it? And we have that in abundance today. That's not good now. We have to be careful with that, to understand that. And the person in 1 John 2:9 who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother, he's in darkness. And that's another false light. When people say, I know the Lord is my Savior, I'm a Christian, and yet they do things that are totally in opposition to being a Christian, what the Word of God teaches, how to live the Christian life. Oh, I'm a Christian, and you're a Christian? We were in a hotel several nights ago, and Michaela and I went to the laundry to do some laundry, and in walks a man, and, you know, he was, you know, we saw what he was, the way he was dressed, and he was a bit, you know, looked a little rough, and we started talking a little bit, and he said he was riding a motorcycle, and on, you know, so you can imagine now what we're talking about. That's, you know, kind of looked that way. Yeah, right. Kind of like a motorcycle guy, and nothing wrong with riding motorcycles. I ride them all the time, but I mean, just the way he looked. And he asked me where I was from, and so we started talking. And I said, I'm a missionary. I knew that. I knew what, as soon as I saw you, I knew who you were. And he said, you probably wouldn't know it, but I'm a pastor. You're a pastor? I almost said, how come I don't know that when I see you? So he said he was of the light, and he actually even knew some people that I know. It's amazing. He was a free Methodist pastor. So he knows some people who are fine folks that we know. But his the way he was dressed, and then he started showing us his t-shirts, the t-shirts that he's wearing while he's riding the motorcycle. And I'm not a Christian. Jesus came to rock the world, and other such things as that. So somebody who says, now he says he's a pastor, he says he's a Christian, but his life does not bear testimony of that. So is he a Christian or not? That's the problem. There's a question mark right there. Because of the way he's living, there's a question mark on what he says. He says, I'm a Christian. I don't know his heart, but God does. But there's a lot that God has to say about living the Christian life. And if you don't live the Christian life, that puts a big question mark. Are you really saved because you're not obediently walking with the Lord like the Word of God teaches us? And what fellowship has light with darkness? He was a pastor, but he was trying to mix the world with being a pastor and being a Satan himself. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, disguises himself as an angel of light. He did that in the garden, sort of. I mean, he talked really, really good. He was a serpent, but he had a lot of, quote, light when he talked. Sounded good. Yeah. Questioning God. setting himself up as a light. And then 1 John 2:9, the one who says that he's in the light, I said, I read that already, and hates his brother. There's a difference between saying and really being and doing. There's a difference in what we say and what we do. And then the true light, John 8:12. Somebody turn to that one for me, John 8:12. You might even be able to quote it.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Okay, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light. Now, that's who we've been talking about. The spiritual light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other light than Him. Don't be fooled. Don't think that somebody is very wise and they talk really well and they might have some, they might be right. They might be right. But if it is not according to the Word of God, they are not right. We have got to get that back into our thinking. That just because somebody says something is right, and because they make it sound like it's right, and they even do things to make us, wow, that, you know, they present us with facts and all sorts of things. We have got to be careful and go back to the Word of God and find out, is it really true? And not just be gullible. Why is it that so many people are drawn in to all of these things that you get a call, you get an email, there's an amazing cure. How many times have you clicked? I won't ask you to raise your hand because I'll have to raise mine too. That you see on the internet this simple cure for whatever it is. And all you need to just, and then when you start following it, it's a bunch of baloney. And if you're not careful, you've got a virus in your computer and all kinds of stuff like that. Folks, we have got to be smarter than that. We've got to ask the Lord for wisdom and help in our Christian life, not to think that whatever somebody says is the truth. We've got to check it out. We've got to know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And in our Christian life, it's got to be that way. We've got to live our Christian life not based on what we think is right or what somebody else says is right, but what does the Word of God actually say? And who are we to follow? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, not just for salvation, but for our entire Christian life from beginning to end. No matter how old we get, we've still got to follow that light. And the last light that I want to mention is the personal light. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light, my light? Yes, my light. Where did I get a light from? Well, let me ask you, are you saved? Who comes to live in you when you're saved? The Holy Spirit, who is the one that Jesus sent on His behalf, and they're all one. So Christ, the Bible says it over and over and over again, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, Christ in you. We're in Christ. So your light? Your light, what light? My sinful nature, natural light? No way. Something that's, I'm good now? No. Your light, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit living in you, that is your light. That's your light, isn't it? You received Him into your heart. You received Him as your Lord and Savior. That is your light. So let your light so shine. He wants to live through you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. What does Christ want to do in us? He wants to live His life now in us. And the things that we learn from the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit is controlling us and we're doing the things that God tells us to do, those are the good works. It's not the things that I think of, the good deeds that we might talk about, but it's Christ, the light of the world, in me, now living through me, and that's the light, and that's my light. And those are the works. Those are my works, but those are really His, because it's Him in me doing those things. And when people see that, they're going to say, that's God working in that person's life. That person, nobody could do that. Love your enemies and other things in the Word of God that we learn. How can we have fellowship with darkness and the light shine? It can't. And we might put on an aura of light, but it's not. It's really darkness. So we need to let our light, the Lord Jesus Christ, shine through us into this dark world. And people will glorify God on your behalf. They will say, I thank God for this person. Why? Because of the things that they've done that are really Christ in them, loving them, helping them, working in them, working with them. Father, take your word today and illuminate our hearts and renew in us a real hunger and a thirst for it, because we cannot truly live our life and shine for you, you shining in us and through us, without an understanding and a knowledge of your word. That's why we need to read it and study it and even memorize it. So help us to love you and love your word and live for you and live in obedience to your word throughout all the days of our life. In Christ's name, amen.